Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Vav. That's pretty good. And basically, we are holding smack bang in the middle of the question that we raised yesterday. And remember that we raised a very complex, interrelated set of issues that involved the fundamental questions of the biology of Betulim. Is the Dam Mifkat pocket? Is the Dam Chiburi Michper? And then we went through a whole flowchart in each side. If it's the question of Mifkat pocket, does he need the Dam or does he want the Petach? If he wants the Petach, then it's going to be Usser. If he wants the Dam, then the question is Dover Shenem is Kavin Mutter, like Rabbi Shimon, is it Dover Shenem is Kavin Usser? But even if a Dover Shenem is Kavin is Usser, what's the din legabe mekalkel of a mekalkel by a Pesach? That itself is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And then we have the other tzad, remember, this is what we're in the middle of. I'm just giving you the tzadim. On the tzad, a dam is chibura michpar, and you would have to cause an actual chabura in order to get this dam out. So then the question is, what is the person's main intent in this act? Is his main intent just to have fun, in which case it's talahana'at atzmo, or does he actually want the dam, and therefore it would be usur? Why it's usur? That we serve as machlokas. Maybe it's usur b'shem netilat neshama, the way the Rabbeinu Tam holds. Maybe it's a din of dash, the way the Rambam holds. What about if it's la'ana atat smotz? Then it's a question. If you hold the Dover Shenem Miskaven is mutter, and for the Pesach you're not miskaven, for the Dom you're not miskaven, so then it would be mutter if you hold like Rabbi Shimon. If you hold the Dover Shenem Miskaven is aser, then it depends. Is Mekalka b'chabura mutter, or is Mekalka b'chabura aser? And do is Mekalka b'chabura, then it would be a machlok, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter, surprisingly, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be usher. Anyway, those were all of the issues that we raised yesterday. And today the Gemara is ready right on the top of the daf to make a determination about those things. So the last thing we said was, well, what's the din? Im tim tzlor mekalka b'chaburuhu, mekalka l'alocha k'reb Yehuda, or is alocha Rabbi Shimon? Those were the closing words, and today we continue. So what is the solution? Well, Bebe Rav Amre, so where Rav was the Rosh Shiva? So they said, well, Rav was Matir, sleeping with the Betula on Shabbat. And Shmuel said it's Aser. But that's not here, that's in Narda. And in Narda, where Shmuel was the Rosh Shiva, they said, Rav's the one who answers it, Shmuel's the one who's Matir it. And therefore, the way to remember who said what is that everybody said, where we are, it's Mutter. So Amrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the Simanecha, the way to remember who says what, Elo Mekilin La'atzman, the Elo Mekilin La'atzman. Okay, so now we want to go into, because remember, there were an awful lot of issues that were involved. I mean, there's many ways for us to maneuver this, because as we showed, the conclusion of the halacha is really a function of many different possibilities. I mean, how exactly we understand where Rav came from. Well, we start simple, okay? We start by assuming that the idea over here is that Rav is going aliba to Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds Dover Shenem is Kavin is Mutter. And over here, in this case, he is not interested in the Dam, and he's not interested in making a petach, he's just interested in sex. That's all. In which case, all of this is a dover she'eno mitkaven. Later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference with dover she'eno mitkaven? I mean, the bottom line is, if you are going to be doing something that's a malacha, it's a psik ratio. We'll talk about that. But now the question is that consistent? Because the problem is that we see that Rav does not hold of Rabbi Shimon. Because did it not, Rav Shori, you're telling me Rav says that it's mutter, v'om Rav Shimon bar Chizkia mishmei de Rav. We had this sugya back in Shabbos, that a mesuchraya den azaita is osir lahadoka b'yumatava. Now, this is very similar to the question that we have over here. And that is, in this case, what you do is you've got this stopper. And the stopper is made out of foam or out of material. And if you push the stopper into a wine barrel, you end up squeezing out wine from that wine barrel. And then that is a problem. What exactly the problem is? Well, it's a problem of Libun, possibly. It's the way that we show and bring it. And of course, that would only mean Lechora that it's a drabonon, because certainly ain't derech Libun. I've never heard of anybody who washes clothes in wine, or actually the Zaitis beer washes clothes in beer. But I mean, we should speak to our Capitan about this, because he's got his own special approaches to these issues, but I think he's frozen. Capitan, please come back to us. There we go. So do you use beer in Finland for washing clothes, or do you have water available there?
No, we only use beer for throwing on the sauna flame to get a nice smell. We don't wash in the beer.
Okay, so then if that's the case, it's just very strange, because somehow I remember your sauna being full of this beer.
So beer smell from the throwing the beer on the hot stones.
All right. Of course, our Capitan would never imbibe beer.
No.
Anyway, so Lechora, that would only be a drabonan, because it's not the derech of Libun. But anyway, that's one possibility. The other possibility is that some of the Rishonim said, because you're squeezing it out. So when you're squeezing it out, so then you're going to be over on dash. Now that raises an issue, which I'll discuss in a moment. But so you could see the same issue over here. If you're plugging something into a barrel top, that's very similar to sleeping with a virgin. So the question is over there, in the case of the betula, you're going to be causing whatever it is, the bleeding or whatever the issue is in the petach. And when you're squeezing in the rag that you've got in the top of the barrel, then you're also going to be doing something which may not be your main intent. Your main intent is to cover the barrel, not to let oxygen into the barrel and ruin the wine, right? And nonetheless, Rav himself was the one who says it's usher to tighten it. So how come over here it's mutter? It's the same type of thing, isn't it? No, says the Gemara. Because in that case of the beer stopper, even Rabbi Shimon, who holds a Dovr Shein Miskaven, is mutter, would agree that it's usher. Why? Because there is no way to plug that stopper in without causing it to squeeze some of the beer out. And that's called, as we had, as the Baya Varava both pointed out so many times, Moda Rebbe Shimon, B'psik Reisha V'lo Yamut. If all you want to do is cut off the chicken's head, not Chas V'Shalom, you're totally against chickens being killed for any purposes. You just want to borrow its head for a couple of hours because your grandchildren came in and you want to give them a nice little puppet to play with. So, and you say, oh gosh, I don't know, can't get it back on. So that is considered to be a psik reisha, which is called cut off its head. So we use this as a humorous kind of way of describing the entire process of any issue like this. So in that case, this should be the equivalent of cutting a chicken's head off. So therefore it should be okay. Says the Gemara, okay, fine, let's say. The problem is that we happen to know for a fact that Rav does not hold of Rabbi Shimon that a Dovr Shein Miskaven is mutter, and I'll prove it to you. And therefore, now I want to understand how you could possibly paskin that and claim that according to Rav, you're allowed to sleep with a betulah on Shabbos. Because Amar Rav Ashi Amar Rav, he's a beferish halacha k'Rav Yehuda, you know, when it comes to a Dovr Shein Miskaven. And Rabbi Chanan Barami said in the name of Shmuel that Halacha Rabbi Shimon, but it's actually Rav who argues. How could we come out over here? It's the opposite. And actually, Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin simply says it over without needing to quote either. We don't need Rabbi Chiya Barashi. We don't need Rabbi Chanan Barami. Just they said themselves, Rav Omar, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Omar, Halacha Rabbi Shimon, period, without anybody in the middle. So I don't get how do we say that Rav says it's mutter because he holds like Rabbi Shimon if he's paskins beferush like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, says the Gemara, I got you. So we're going to have to take, obviously, one of the other approaches. I mean, we have lots of other approaches in which things worked out. Even afilu the Rabbi Yehuda, that we would permit this idea of be'ila on Shabbat of Abu'ula and Abu'betula. And how was that? So I'll tell you. Rav may very well hold like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to the issue of a davar she'eino mitkaven. So fine, we still have plenty of options. Remember how many different factors there were? So let's take the two approaches. Remember, we had a flow chart that started off with a basic bifurcation about whether dam is mifkat pocket, so it's held in place the way that the dishwasher soap is held in place with a little membrane. It's not absorbed into anything, or michbar chaver, that it has to actually come out the way that a normal cutting through capillaries would produce blood and so on. So let's take the first approach. So what about according to the Lashon that says the dam is mifkat pocket, in which case there's no problem of making a chabura because this is not a chabura. This is just cutting through a membrane. So then we could say that Rav says, why is it mutter? Because what's the problem? The problem is that you're creating an opening that allows this woman to be more usable for intercourse. But Lamaisa, you're being mekalkel, because now she's worth much less and people are less, would pay less for her. So she's obviously less valuable than she was before. So maybe Rav holds that when it comes to that halacha mekalkel, he holds its mutter, which is actually what Rabbi Yehuda says. So if he's consistently going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda in this case, there'd be no problem. If you want to take the other approach on our flow chart, namely that we're going to start with the idea that dam, if there is bleeding, it's bleeding because of a normal cut in a normal tissue. So then maybe he holds the idea that a mekalkel is mekalkel b'chabura, and mekalkel b'chabura he holds actually like Reb Yehuda. That's mekalkel b'chabura. That's what I meant to say before. I pushed in Reb Yehuda in the wrong place. I was referring to this and lost track. So he's mekalkel b'chabura, and that's Reb Yehuda Shita, that mekalkel b'chabura is actually mutter, whereas Alibet Rabbi Shimon and mekalkel b'chabura would be aser. Anyway, so apparently there's very easy options over here that we could choose for Rav. So our initial take on it, that Rav was going, Alibet Rabbi Shimon and davar she'eino mitkaven is mutter. Okay, so that was the easy way out. And okay, now we'll have to take a more complex route to the same end, that it's mutter, and it could involve many of the other issues. Okay, now, what about Shmuel? She told me, according to Shmuel, let's take the approach in Shmuel, anyway, that it's osir, which is what they claimed in Rav's yeshiva, right? So, Masiv Rav Chista on Shmuel. How can Shmuel claim that it is actually osir to sleep with a betula on Shabbos, if it says beferish in the Mishnah in Nida as follows? Tinoka chelo igiaz mana lirot v'nisei. Suppose you are married to a little girl and she is prepubescent. It's not time for her to get her period anyway. So what's the deal about worrying that maybe this bleeding is actual dam nidot? Well, over there, I mean, look, the girl's not really ready to have a period. So over there, Beit Shammai says, okay, look, even though she's bleeding, I mean, it's so reasonable to say that this is bleeding from the betulim. So that's not considered to be metame. Obviously, blood that comes from any kind of wound or anything that has nothing to do with hormonal bleeding, it's perfectly all right. So therefore, it says, Beit Shammai, look, for 4 nights, we can assume that all of that blood is only blood from the betulim. There's nothing to worry about. And then she would be tahora, despite the fact that she's bleeding. Beit Hillel says, what are you talking about? I don't care if she's bleeding for 2 years. The bottom line is that if she's bleeding only because there is a makah, some kind of wound from the betulim, and the proof of that would be is that every time you irritate her with intercourse, she bleeds. But she doesn't bleed any other time. So, I mean, obviously what you're doing is you're simply scraping an open wound. You're not giving it time to heal. And as long as it's still bleeding, then why in the world should it be chayshish on a prepubescent child that she's bleeding because of nidais? Where in the world would nidais get into it? Richie, you have a very self-satisfied, frozen look on your face. Oh, there we go. Okay, so therefore, it says over here that we have this machlok. Now, where do we get to the Shmuel problem? Here's where we get a problem. If it's time for her, she never had a period, but she is of an age where we would expect her to have her first period soon, and she gets married. So Beit Shammai Omrim, well, you know, then Richie. So then Beit Shammai says, well, the most we can do is give her one night. So you, if she's bleeding, don't worry about it during this night. You want to sleep with her again, whatever you want, all night long, have fun. But that's it. And after that, you have to worry that any bleeding would be damnidas because she is already at puberty. Whereas Beit Hillel says, well, what we do is we give her 4 nights. Those 4 nights are ad motzei Shabbat. So in other words, that means that if the betula was niseit revi'i, so then we have that Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night are 4 nights, right? So that says very clearly that if we give her 4 nights and she's bleeding, that obviously you are allowed to sleep with her on that third night, and that third night was Friday night. So how does Shmuel possibly say that you're not allowed to sleep with her on Friday night if the Mishnah says you are? That's a pretty powerful question. So I'm assuming, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, we're talking about over here, even if he had never had any intercourse with her, he could still sleep with her on Friday night. I mean, that seems to me to be a given that we're talking about that he wasn't Baal, because I mean, if he had been Baal, so then why does it bother mentioning anything about 4 nights and so on? I mean, you don't think I know how to count myself, right? I mean, you're counting for me. We gave her 4 nights, which is, let me explain to you. If she gets married on Wednesday, that means till Mitzvah Shabbos, just in case you can't add. Come on. I mean, so the whole idea over here must be to tell me that you're allowed to initially have intercourse with her on Friday night, even though you will cause this bleeding. But that's exactly not Shmuel, because the only alternative, gentlemen, of explaining why I need to count 4 nights for you till Mitzvah Shabbos, the only alternative would be to say that we only give you the 4 nights if they are one after the other. We won't give you 4 nights over any other period of time, right? So these have to be consecutive nights. But that's not true, because it says beferish in a couple of places that we could give you 4 nights over 12 months. And, you know, if they're still bleeding the second night, 3 months later, and then bleeding after that, the third night, 3 months after that, and so on, that it's also okay. So, I mean, it's not coming to tell me consecutive. So then the only point of the Chiddush is that it includes Friday night. Boy, Barnea's already got virtual drinks. This is amazing. Look at that. Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry. He was trying to illustrate Kmitza, and I thought that he was giving a drink. I forgot that he's a coin. Chaim. So I think that's pretty clear that this is against Shmuel, right? So my love, the Elo boil. So the whole point of this Mishnah is that if he hadn't had any kind of relations with her, he nonetheless can do so on Friday night. Exactly what Shmuel says. It is not true. Oh, my Rabbi, I don't understand. Why is this a problem for Shmuel? Why can't it mean 4 nights, but not including Shabbos? The third night, you can't sleep with her. Oh, my Rabbi, I mean, this I can't believe. You know how to read it? You don't know how to read it. It says, Ad Motzei Shabbat Arba Leilot, right? Like, how much clearer can you make it? 4 nights through Mitzvah Shabbos. How are you going to get away with saying, of course, that doesn't include Shabbos? Right. That is really ridiculous, I think. No? All right, says Rava, fine. I'll tell you a different shot. It's true But what it means over here that you could sleep with her on Shabbos is because you already slept with her before Shabbos. That's what it's saying. Remember, the only question over here was, are you allowed to initially penetrate Betulim on Shabbos? That was the question. Maybe over here it's talking about that you had already penetrated these Betulim. And now the question is, well, can I sleep with her again on Friday night, even though that will cause bleeding because of irritation, further irritation? Maybe that's the Chiddush, says Rob. Well, so then, is there a Chiddush of Baal, my Kamashmon? Yes. Kamashmon, the Shailam, Devo, Beshabbos, Chiddush, Shmuel. It's coming to tell me that even though you will cause bleeding, like Shmuel says, let's say that you have a small opening in a wall. And now you need to squeeze into that wall in order to get into your garden. If you squeeze through the wall, you may very well knock out some stones by getting into it because it's very thin. And Shmuel said, even though that's the case, you don't have to worry about it. And so that's the same thing as over here. Even though you're squeezing in, so to speak, to this opening, you don't have to worry about the fact that you may knock out some stones, meaning you may cause some bleeding. They're the same thing. That just like Shmuel said, pirtza dechuka, if you've got a tight fit, mutar likanes b'Shabbat, you can go in afal pishe meishir tzerorot, and therefore there should be no problem. That's the Chiddush. Okay, Mosi Rav Yosef. That's a very interesting pshat. But we've got some other problems over here. And the other problem, as I can show you, is that it says in the bracha, in brachas, that remember, we've had this so many times also, a chosen is potter from kriyat shema, laila rishon, now dig this, ad matzoi Shabbos, last I heard, ad matzoi Shabbos includes Friday night, okay? It says that the chosen is potter from Kriyat Shema. Now, why is the chosen potter from Kriyat Shema? And it specifies there, if im lo asa maaseh, if he did not yet sleep with his new bride, and it's Friday night, and he's all nervous, and he's torid, therefore he doesn't have kavan in Kriyat Shema, and he's potter from Kriyat Shema, right? Now, I mean, I'm assuming that the only reason that he's put from Kriyat Shema is because he is Tarud de Boy Lemival. Look, he's got this mitzvah to do. We call this the Be'ilat Mitzvah. And he is nervous about it. And what happens if he doesn't find the question? Why is he nervous exactly? Is he nervous because of maybe he'll find that she doesn't have the Dam Betulim? Is he nervous because maybe he won't be able to break through the Betulim? Whatever it is. Bottom line is, this machlokas, different rishonim say different things. It depends really on the gemaras, we'll see. But I'm assuming that over here, what makes it impossible for him to have kavana in Kriyat Shema, therefore we potter him, is because he is basically being oisik b'mitzvah, and his tirda is coming from his involvement in his planning for this mitzvah. So my lav de tori de boy lamival. I mean, obviously, according to you, Rava, if he already slept with her, what's he so nervous about? So it's got to be talking about that he didn't sleep with her, as the Mishnah said, im lo asa maaseh, okay? And therefore, he wants to try again tonight on Friday night, which Shmuel said he's not allowed to. So I'm very confused. Then that means that the Mishnah is going not like Shmuel. How are you going to answer that? Omalei Abaye, well, look, I mean... I'd like to make this work out even according to Shmuel. We're going to see it's really not a big problem because the fact is it's a machlokas tanoim, as we're going to show. But again, as Tosafos explains, Shmuel, Abaye would like the pashtus as much as possible in any of the Mishnayos and Braytot to be explainable according to Shmuel. So he doesn't want to access the standby solution that Shmuel could be going like another Tana. Obviously, we prefer to go according to the Tanya of the Mishnah. So therefore, Abaye says, I think that we can answer this, even according to Shmuel, because your assumption that someone who is Tarud would only be potter from Kriyat Shema because he is going to do that mitzvah tonight is a wrong assumption. He is potter from Kriyat Shema because he's nervous, not about tonight, but about tomorrow night, about the whole idea, about the fact that he's going to have to get this done one day. So he's nervous. So Amalei Abayim, maybe that's what's making him nervous. The Tari de Loboil is nervous about the fact they didn't manage to do anything yet. Oh, heck, it's getting more and more problematic over here. And he's thinking, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to finish this up. So because of that, he's feeling really upset. He's upset with himself. Amalei Rav is so, I understand he's upset with himself. But suppose his telephone broke that day and it fell into the toilet. So now he's putter from Kriyat Shema because he's turud that, oh my God, what am I going to do with my phone? It fell into the toilet. I mean, come on. Mishum tirda putter. All of a sudden we're puttering people from Kriyat Shema because they are involved. They're preoccupied. They don't have place in their heart for Kriyat Shema. Come off it, man. I mean, Elamayata, suppose a guy just lost all his money on the stock market. He's putter from Kriyat Shema. His ship went down with everything that he owns. He's putter from Kriyat Shema. Why would he putter from Kriyat Shema? Okay, now I'm the putter. And maybe you'll say to me, well, yes, right, prove to me that you're not. Maybe the fact that a person cannot concentrate is enough to putter from Kriyat Shema? No siree, buddy. Because if you're going to tell me that, yes, that's true. If a person is finding it difficult to concentrate, then he doesn't have to say Kriyat Shema. But that's not true because Amar Rav Bar Zavda Amar Rav Avel Chayav B'Chol HaMitzvot Amurot B'Torah. Why is an Avel Chayav in Kriyat Shema? Are you telling me that he is less tarud at the fact that he just lost his wife of 70 years? You know, that's, he can still say Kriyat Shema, but if he dropped his iPhone into the toilet, you can't expect him to concentrate on Kriyat Shema. I mean, no. So therefore, it's clear that just being upset and preoccupied is not a basis for pottering you from Kriyat Shema, because otherwise Avelut would be ipso facto a ptur from Kriyat Shema, and yet it is not. The only mitzvah that an Avel is potter from is the first day of wearing tefillin, which we learn out from Yechezkel. And there, as Rashi explains, is because it's inappropriate for him to be wearing tefillin, because tefillin is called pe'er. And pe'er is beauty. And a avel is just not beautiful. He's filthy. He's lying on the ground. He's crying. He looks horrible. But he'll put tefillin on something like that. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosef understands not the reason is that the avel is unfit, but rather that the Torah calls tefillin pe'er and says beferish that pe'er is usher for an avel by insisting that Yechezkel put on pe'er in order to show that I don't give a hang. And that's the way people are going to feel about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Okay, so then Amalei Rava. So that can't be because of that, because avel is chayav b'chol mitzvot amurot b'Torah chutz min haTorah shenemar behem min haTfilin shenemar behem pe'er. So therefore, the Mishnah, which is saying over here that a chosen who has not yet done a maisa is potter, must be not because he's nervous. It must be because he is involved in thinking about the mitzvah that he needs to do tonight. But according to Shmuel, he's not allowed to do it tonight, and therefore the whole thing doesn't make sense. Now, obviously, Abaye holds that there is a difference, as Tosis explains. There's a difference between a tirda that is involved in the ultimate asiyah of a mitzvah and the tirda that comes from losing your iPhone in the toilet. So the previous one would potter, the latter one would not. And as we learned about this, and a couple of times, the fact that an avel is tarud is not a mitzvah. The Torah never said you're supposed to be tarud. The Torah said you're supposed to be an avel. And where does it ever say, as Rashi says, that this means that you're in a state of emotional turmoil and cannot concentrate? That's your problem. That's not the mitzvah in the Torah. And therefore, taking this avelut into this emotive area is not something that has to do with the mitzvah. It has to do with your own determination. It's not to say you're not sad, and the expression of that sadness is not important in terms of course it is important. That's the idea, that's the kavod ha'meis and so on. But that has nothing to do with tear down. It's a whole different issue. Therefore, says Rava, I will tell you, stop trying to fit Shmuel into the Mishnah. It's a machlokas tanayim, whether it's mutter to sleep with a betula on Shabbat or whether it's not. But I think that the Mishnah in Brachas is actually not like Shmuel. It's going according to another Tana, but obviously Shmuel doesn't have to paskin like that Tana. And I'll show you. It's a Braita. The Braita says like this, the Tana Chada. Let's say the chassid was not successful in consummating his marriage in the first night. So then he's put from Kriyat Shema even on the second night. That means if he didn't get anything done Wednesday night, he's put on Thursday night. If he didn't manage to consummate his marriage on the second night, which is Thursday night, he's put even on the third night, which is Friday night. But the other Braita says, no. He's not potter from Kriyat Shema on the third night. He's only potter from Kriyat Shema on the first night and the second night. But on the third night, he's chayav. What do you think the machlokas is, gentlemen? Obviously, about whether is he going to be attempting to consummate his marriage on Friday night. So you see that it's a machlokas as to whether it is mutter or usser to sleep with a virgin on Friday night. QED, nonsense, says Abaye. I still maintain the Mishnah is not a machlokas tanoim. The Mishnah works out perfectly well according to Shmuel. Nobody is talking about sleeping with a virgin on the third night in the Mishnah. And nonetheless, you are putter, because the machlokas tanoim is not about sleeping with virgins. It's about how do we define preoccupied when it comes to the dinim of a mitzvah. Do you only call something Torah tir that a mitzvah when you are about to do the mitzvah, which is what you're claiming, Rava? I say no. Shmuel is simply understanding that the chassan is potter, despite the fact that on Friday night he's not going to be sleeping with her. And the reason that he's potter is because even a tirda that is not right now a tirda of I have to do this mitzvah now, but it's a tirda that involves planning and concern for a mitzvah, even that is sufficient to actually potter you. That is the issue. Not whether you can sleep with a virgin. Nobody holds that you can sleep with a virgin. That's what I say. In which case it would work out according to Shmuel. Okay, again, as we explained before, it's not that there would be such a disaster if it doesn't work out according to Shmuel, because as we just said, it is a machlokas tanoim. But Abaye prefers to make it work out, even alibi de Shmuel kipshutai, with the Tana of the Mishnah. So hasavnami betirda pligi. By the way, this machlokas tanoim that Rava says is a machlokis directly as to whether you're allowed to sleep with the betula on Shabbos. It actually reflects another machlokis tanoim that we also find. Hani tanoi kani tanoi de tanya. Hakones et habitula. Now here it says beferish. Lo yivol betchila b'shabbat. The truth is, we saw this already before. We weren't sure whether the reason is because of the problem of causing bleeding, or whether it was because Shema Yishchot ben Of. So here it says, HaKonez lo yivol b'tchila b'Shabbat, v'chachamim matirin, and therefore we are going to basically consider this to be a machlokas, which seems very much like what Rava was saying, that there is a straight-out machlokas about whether you can or cannot sleep with a betula. And undoubtedly over here, when it says the chachamim are matirit, it's going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar she'eino miskaven mutter. Now that at last allows us to examine the question of why, if we said before that you're not allowed to squeeze a stopper into a beer barrel, because of the fact that it's going to cause squeezing, why are you allowed to plug a stopper into a virgin if it's going to cause bleeding? Why isn't that exactly the same issue? We answer that even according to Rabbi Shimon, the idea is that it's subsecretia. Why isn't subsecretia? If you're going to penetrate a betula, then you are going to cause bleeding. So that's subsecretia. And we said that Rabbi Shimon is made about subsecretia. That's what we said. So what's the difference between the beer barrel and the betula? Didn't we say that Rabbi Shimon is moda with a psikresha v'lo yamud? Why is this any different? Omar lay, so Rava said, what are you talking about, man? What do you think, everybody is a redneck Bavli who doesn't know what he's doing? He just goes ahead and all he's looking for is blast your way through. I don't care what you do. Those are rednecks. We're not talking about people like that. We're talking about human beings. Human beings who have any kind of sensitivity are b'ki'in b'hataya. So loka alalu bavli, not like bavli. This is the way that is the best shot in the Gemara. It avoids all of the problems. It has nothing to do really with rov or not rov. This is clear from most of the Rishonim that this is the pshat. People that are insensitive and are only looking for fun, and they don't give a hang if they're going to cause any kind of pain or bleeding. So good, yeah, obviously they're not going to be able to avoid breaking the betulim. But a human being who has sensitivity can figure out a way in which he causes less pain and ultimately will figure out, even though he doesn't know exactly what he's doing gynecologically, but the sensitivity itself will allow penetration at an angle that will not cause breaking of the betulim. What's so problematic about that? And therefore, it is definitely not a psikresha. If your intent is not to force your way through, so then why would you cause bleeding? So you think it's people like around the people that you live with? Is redneck bavlian? She'enem b'kiim b'atayah? They don't know what they're doing. Ela yesh b'kiim b'atayah. There's plenty of people who are b'kiim. Therefore, there's no bleeding. So now I'm very confused. If you're telling me that they know how to avoid causing bleeding, and that means that this chosen that you're saying is potter from Kriyat Shema, because he's not sure he's going to be able to break these betulim, or he's not sure whether he's going to find dam, he's not going to even try. So even if he does sleep with her, you said that he knows what he's doing. No, we're talking about a chosen who is not a baki. Now, as Tosis explains, what that means is he never tried this before. So, I mean, he's nervous. He may find out at the time that it's not a big problem and that he can actually adjust his own position in such a way that he finds an angle that doesn't hurt her, in which case he's not going to end up breaking betulim. That's all. But what do you think? He's so sure about this. This guy is so naive. He has no idea what he's doing. All he's been doing is learning at Brisk for the past 5 years. What in the world does he know? But the truth is that most people will find their way unless they are redneck bavli. Okay, but that's not what we're talking about over here. So it means l'sheino baki, Satosis understands it. So he is an eino baki. Wait, so now understand. What a weird shot. So you're telling me it all depends. Somebody who is a baki is allowed to sleep with a betula on Shabbos. Somebody who's not a baki is not allowed to. And therefore, if you're going to go get married, you first go for your license to see whether you're a baki or not. And then they give you a license. You know, this guy is allowed to sleep with a betula on Shabbos. I mean, I can just see the crowd at the license facility. You know, that's ridiculous. You can't have a pshat like that and a psak halacha like that. So, I mean, what are we doing? Are we granting licenses? No, the meaning is that since most normal people will feel their way, rov b'kiyamim, and therefore there's not really such a problem. But I don't understand. If you're telling that it is possible to avoid breaking betulim, then why in the world are we going through all of this rigmarole? Now, it used to be, we're going to see this later, and Tosfos learned that the main problem is because of Shabbos. So it used to be, and there's still some Svardim that do this, it used to be that you had to have Shushbinin, and you used to have a Mapas, you would have somebody from his side, somebody from her side, and they would make sure that you put on a clean sheet, because otherwise this girl, maybe she's going to bring a bloody sheet to prove that she was a Betulah, and she knew she wasn't. Or from, so they want to make sure from his side, we don't want any hanky-panky around here, and we want to make sure from her side that this guy didn't quickly switch the sheet so he could claim, see, she's not a Betulah, and all he wanted was a night with her, and now he's going to throw her out, and so on. But what are we doing all of this for, since it's possible for the guy to avoid any kind of bleeding anyway, and it's Friday night, and that's what he's supposed to do, so there's no point in it? No, this is a bad. What do you mean there's no point in it? We said Rove Bikini, but it's certainly possible that he will cause bleeding. How about if he causes bleeding and he still attempts to change the sheets, huh? And then he's going to claim that there was no bleeding. So what's going to happen then? Okay, so therefore, there's still a reason for us to avoid this kind of thing. Mati Rivam, I got a problem from a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, even though this is a Mishnah in Idiot, we spoke about this Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat, HaMefis Mursa B'Shabbat. So let's say you've got a blister. Now, you want to drain the blister. So you lance the blister. Okay. You do this on Shabbat, so it depends. If what you want to do is lance the blister and insert a piece of cotton to keep it draining, you want to keep it open. So then you are making an opening, and you're not allowed to make an opening on Shabbat. That is called boner, tikkun mon, or whatever. We had talked about these machlokas and about exactly what the yisur is. And that would be a classic opening, because you want air to come in and you want fluid to come out. And therefore, it would be us. Of course, over here, we're not talking about bleeding. We're talking about a blister where there's no bleeding when you cut it through. And it's just like the membranous layer of thin skin. But if you want to make a opening, so then it would be actually chayav on Shabbat, which is really doing a malacha. If all you want to do is get out the liquid, then you're putter. And remember, as we said in Shabbos, this is the example of where in Shabbos we can use the word patur, and it actually means patur and even mutar, even though normally patur means patur and asur. So, I mean, I'm very confused. You said that if the dam is pocket, right? So then there's no problem of cutting through this membrane. And yet, when you said that when it comes to the betulah, you said that there is a problem. The ones who say that it's also to sleep with the betulah is because it's going to cause bleeding, right? But assuming that there's no desire to have a betah. Remember, that was one of its studim. But it's going to cause bleeding, and you hold that the dam is pocket, so it should still be the same as over here. So why did you matter it over here in this case and answer it by the woman? Because pocket, there's different levels of pocket, you know. When you're talking about a blister, a blister is like clear water, or maybe it's a cyst that's got a pus in it. Now, that is completely detached. I mean, the whole point is that the body is attempting to isolate this material, that's the cyst wall and so on, to isolate this material from causing any damage, which otherwise it would cause. And therefore, it's completely and totally separate from the body. And it really is as if it's enclosed. Masha Enke, when it comes to a hymen, even if you want to tell me that it's similar to the idea of a cyst, it is not cut off from normal circulation. And therefore, since it still exchanges fluid, it's considered to be pocket, yes, but it's not a kier. it's not completely torn apart, so to speak, uprooted, Akir. It's not completely separate from the rest of the circulatory system. Therefore, over here, it would still be Usher, maybe, according to those Shittas who say it's Usher, even if it would be Pakin. And over here, when it comes to the lancing, the boil, or assist, then we would say that it's completely detached. And because of the tsar that's involved, which over here, the equivalent would be because of the mitzvah that's involved, that we would be matirit l'chatchila. So we were talking about the misuchraya de nezaita and the question of the idea of a psik resha. And that was the question about whether the Pesach, that is dochuk, whether it's mutter to be nichnas, therefore is the problem over here. And we said that it's not, since there are, it's possible to be boil bahataya. This was the way that we prefer to learn the sugya, according to those Rishonim. Since it's possible, as long as you're not a bavli, and you're not stam a slob, and you're sensitive, we don't have to worry necessarily that 100% you're going to be breaking and causing bleeding and so on. Now, we related that to the misuchraya de nezaita, which is a very interesting thing, because if you're plugging in to a barrel and you're squeezing the rag that is stuffing the hole, then you're going to be losing that beer, right? In other words, why would you want to squeeze it out? You have no interest in the beer that's coming out of it. So is that still called a psik resha delo yamut? Or do we say, since you really wouldn't want this, so then, or at least you have no use for it, so then it would be mutter. This is the sheresh of a very important yesod, which was made by the Oruch, the Bala Oruch, whose name is Rabbi Nosson, Bala Oruch. And he suggested, and Reb Chaim Brisker brings rise to this from the Rambam, that a psik resha de lo nechale, I'm hoping that we can get a Moshe Forman edition over here, but it don't look good, huh? Okay. A psik resha de lo nechale is mutter. However, many Rishonim disagree with this, and we paskin not like that. A psik resha, even though you have no interest in that psik resha, it would still be us. The question is whether this is only that you don't really care. But how about, now, Ramesha suggests this, and brings Raya's, according to some, that this is true, that in the event that you positively are against it, so then it would be mutter. And furthermore, there's a question of whether the entire issue is only a shvus, meaning it's just it's a gzeira d'rabbanan, so then a psik resha, even if it's just a lo nechale, is considered to be mutter. And it seems that Ramosha holds that way, although there seem to be some contradictions. There are other recent achronim that argue about it. This was Nogea, whether you're allowed to wash the shampoo your beard on Shabbos. Is it considered to be schita? And so is the machlokas with Rav Waldenberg and Rav Meshe Zatzal. In any event, the important akuda over here would be in cases where it comes up as something that you don't want. But let's talk about a case where it's broad daylight. You left something in the trunk of your car that you need. If you open up the trunk of your car, a light goes on. So now the question is, if you positively don't want the light to go on because your battery is low or so on, so since over there it's a davar she'eino miskaven, and you're interested in getting out your backpack from the trunk where you left it, you have no interest whatsoever in broad daylight from having a light burn in your trunk and threaten your battery, so then it would be mutter to open up your trunk. Anyway, those are the types of issues that it would be. Now, again, I just thought it was important to realize that this particular case that we bring serves really as a fundamental case in many of the teshuvas.